For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again about loving God. It is the desire of my heart to learn to love God. And the way in which I can do that is in my ordinary everyday life. There isn't any other place where I'm ever going to learn to do it. I want you to know that I get many of your letters, not all of them, and I'm sure that you can understand that this is a necessity. I wish it were possible for me to read every single one of them and answer every single one of them. But many of them that I don't give a personal answer to, I do read. And I do pray over all the letters that come. Not long ago, I had a letter from a young woman who was longing for marriage. Well, I don't suppose more than 2 or 3 days go by when I don't get letters like that. And I have a good many friends, beautiful, young, single women, some of them middle-aged single women, who are longing for marriage and still praying that God may someday give them that gift. One of the people for whom I prayed for a long time about this particular matter is my producer, whose name was Jan Anderson. And I'm so thankful for God's answers to my prayers and those of many others for dear Jan and her husband, Lauren Wismer. But this young woman has had a number of heartbreaks, the one who wrote me the letter that I referred to. But she has been praying a prayer that she found in Amy Carmichael's book, Rose from Briar. It's a prayer that's not as familiar to me as some of Amy's other poems because it does not appear in her poetry book called Toward Jerusalem. But I wanted to read these words because they do express a heart that longs to love God. Lord, more and more I pray thee, or by wind or fire, make pure my inmost heart's desire, and purge the clinging chaff from off the floor. I wish thy way, but when in me myself would rise and long for something otherwise, then, Holy One, take sword and spear and slay. Oh, stay nearby, most patient love, till by thy grace in this poor silver thy bright face show forth in clearness and serenity. What will it be when, like the lily or the rose that in my flowery garden blows, I shall be flawless, perfect, Lord, to thee? How much do we love God? Well, by comparison with the way he loves us, not very much, do we? Back to the story of Amy Carmichael, the life that has had such an influence in my own life in teaching me what it means to love God, what it means to obey him, and what it means to walk the way of the cross. Amy Carmichael had a very close co-worker, one of the young women who had traveled with her in the itinerant evangelistic band. Her name was Ponnamal. And Ponnamal was one of her most trusted workers in the Donovoer Fellowship, a leader in the work, and she got cancer. The cancer progressed as cancer is wont to do, and they called for an elder from the city to come and anoint and pray with her. And the family gathered around, and they laid a palm branch across the bed as a sign of victory. And before the Lord, they accepted whatever answer God might give. Amy referred to those who wrote to her and said, "You must claim God's healing." She said, "We don't know enough where things of this world are concerned to claim something from God. God knows what we need, God knows what will best glorify Him, and we ask Him for that. And so in advance, we accepted whatever answer God might give. And after this ceremony of prayer and anointing and the victory palm branch laid across the bed, Ponnamal grew worse. She lay for days without speaking, her dull eyes half open. Her pain was violent. And finally, on August 26, 1915, Ponnamal died. Amy Carmichael wrote this: "Once, when she seemed to be in unimaginable misery, she told me how she had longed to be allowed to stay. She thought she could help a little if the pain does not pass this limit." Amy said it seemed to me the most unselfish word I had ever heard from human lips. She touched the limit at last, the limit divinely set to pain, and her warfare was accomplished on August 26th. She would never be replaced. She had been among the best. But, Amy wrote, we shall have our best again, purified, perfected, assured from change forever. That was ground for hope. Then her trusted worker, Arulai, only a few months after this, was discovered to have a very serious disease called Bright's disease. Her name meant star. She was to Amy the treasure of all treasures, the Elisha on whom her mantle was to fall. And looking up to the Lord, she said, "Must thou take them all?" Arulai rallied and lived for 24 more years. And then the family had to go through the pain of World War I. There were 12 nurseries in Donavur by that time. Because of the war, although it didn't seem to affect them very immediately, there were many fears of new decisions and of the future. Amy began to pray about the future and new decisions that she believed that God might be asking her to take. And it was as if she saw the Lord standing on the waves in the storm with his hand outstretched, as it was to Peter. And Amy said, "Lord, bid me come to thee from any boat, on any water. Only teach me how to walk on the sea." Are some of you perhaps facing a fearful future, new decisions, things that you're anxious about, worried about, and it's as if the Lord may be asking you to walk on water? Can you pray that prayer? "Bid me come to thee from any boat on any water, only teach me how to walk on the sea." There were 7 young women, including Prina, the first temple child, about whom I told you last week, and others whose names are almost unpronounceable, so I won't give their names. But there was this same spirit that was found in Ponnamal in them. Today, some would say that Amy Carmichael was their role model. I think that's a cold and a sterile term, which implies the mere assumption of a part or duty. But their Amma, Amy, was far more to them than that. She was mother. They were mothered in every way a child can be conscious of being mothered, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Amy was a loving and a powerful presence in their everyday lives, an older woman who did what the Apostle Paul told his protege Titus to instruct all older women to do: teach younger women by example what godliness looks like. Amy began then to pray about starting a group called the Sisters of the Common Life, women with no fences. She wanted them to live a life with no fences, the most dedicated women of all, who were willing to do whatever needed to be done, the humblest work, the work which might be the most distasteful to them naturally. She says, "We shaped ourselves into a group." In India, as everywhere else, a distinction was usually made between the sacred and the secular. But the Sisters of the Common Life wanted to erase that line between the sacred and the secular, remembering him who took a towel. They quoted the word from 1 Peter 5:5, "Put on the apron of humility." and Jesus' words from Matthew 11:28, "Take my yoke upon you." These were their watchwords. Their vow, "Whatsoever thou sayest unto me, by thy grace I will do it." Their constraint, "Thy love, O Christ my Lord." Their confidence, "Thou art able to keep that which I have committed unto thee." Their joy, "To do thy will, O God." Their discipline, "That which I would not choose, but which thy love appoints." Their prayer, "Conform my will to thine." Their motto, "Love to live, live to love." Loving God, it should be the rule of our lives.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.